Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhikamastama Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 67. Kapila Dev to Devahuti from Srimad Bhagavatam 325. My dear mother, devotees who receive such transcendental opulences are never bereft of them. Neither weapons nor the change of time can destroy such opulences, because the devotees accept me as their friend, their relative, their son, preceptor, benefactor, and supreme deity. They cannot be deprived of their possessions at any time. Right? Because if they're working with Krishna, Krishna's arranging, and so Krishna's taking care. Right? If we think we're taking care, then you have to take care. But if we're dependent on Krishna, then Krishna takes care. Right? Easy.
No? I think at level of bhava, that's when you fully let Krishna take care. Before that, it's like a contract. You do your part, he does his own part.
Yeah. But still, with the devotees, it's always anything disappears, it's not because of just the material energy. It's because somehow or another it's going to be beneficial. Because Krishna's in control. She may be the direct arranger, like we discussed this morning. You know, but the point is it's still Krishna's there. So it's still the same principle. No one can take it away. It's just that when they get on that transcendental platform, there's no need to give or take away. Because it's not going to enhance their devotion to Krishna. They're just going to use in Krishna's service. So as it is useful, it's there. When it's not useful, it's not there. Right? Or if there's something to establish for others, you know, set an example like Arjuna in the Gita, like that, then you see is, you know, he becomes bewildered and then everybody gets the benefit. Because if you had a regular condition, so you couldn't do that. Right? You can't guarantee at the end of the Gita, after hearing those instructions, that they would know what to do. You know, it might be, well, a little tired, I want to think about it. Right? So it's all arranged by the Lord. It's just a matter of whether it looks more like, it more has the qualities of the transcendental platform, or it appears to have the qualities of the material platform. Just depends upon our attachment and our focus in that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But otherwise, Krishna is always in control. So the same thing applies also to any surrendered devotee. Right?
So. Maharaj, when you speak about this particular chapter about the fortunate souls, so all these are the liberated souls that is being discussed.
Yes, it's the liberated souls.
Yeah, but when one jiva comes in contact with bhakti, he immediately becomes fortunate, no matter how.
You do, he becomes fortunate, but then these are the qualities that one can develop, like that. Mm-hmm. Thus, the yogi, what is it? Oh no, here. Kapila Dev to Devahuti, 328. The yogi should see the same soul in all manifestations. For all that exists is a manifestation of different energies of the Supreme. In this way, the devotee should see all living entities without distinction. That is realization of the Supreme Soul. So the quality of the soul means that their transcendental position and their relationship with the Lord, that is what's seen in all. That's the meaning of the same soul. Because otherwise, in the mode of passion, then you see that different bodies, different situations, you think they're different souls. And because of that, then you see there's so much turmoil in the world as one group of souls fights with another group of souls. Like that. Like that. So, but you, it doesn't mean that you don't interact with them according to the external, how they're dealing. But the point is, the principle is that they're the same soul. So if they behave in an appropriate way, you always will, you'll reciprocate that way. Not that, oh, they're this kind of soul, therefore even if they behave nicely, I don't accept that. Does that make sense?
I'm thinking in the relationship, because as
means a 4,000-year-old one, or that one, or that also.
I mean, you know, people have issues, and you know, conflicts. Some conflicts, like eternal, like 4,000, 5,000.
Yeah, give or take a few thousand.
Yeah. In a relationship, it's those who are on the higher level of consciousness, they interact with, you know, wide range of people.
Yes.
So those who understand, they do they interact on their level of consciousness? Is that how it happens?
No, it's you're on that level means the person who's seeing in that way.
Yeah.
And then they they interact with the conditioned living entity on their level.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But they're just dealing like that because that's their level. It's not that it's a prejudice or anything like that. It's like a child.
Yeah.
Depending upon their age, that's how you deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But you're seeing them as the same as everybody else. It's just that they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? So when you see that everybody is part of Krishna's community, then you see everyone that equally, that they're all the same quality of soul, but by their conditioning, they're going to act in a particular way. Right? And that's defined by the modes of nature. So it's not that it's the living entity themselves, it's just the modes, then they establish things that way. Does that make sense? That's why is that if they respond in a positive way, you deal with them that way. Right? Does that make sense? You know. Yeah. Thus, the yogi can be in the self-realized position after conquering the insurmountable spell of Maya, who presents herself as both the cause and effect of this material manifestation, and is therefore very difficult to understand. Right? Because the cause of because everything's the transformation, but it's also the effect, because what you see here. Because you have pradhan, and after transformation, then you have the effect. Mm-hmm. So it appears he's the cause of that transformation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kapila Devahuti 325. Thus, by not engaging in the service of the modes of material nature, but developing Krishna consciousness, knowledge and renunciation, and by practicing yoga, in which the mind is always fixed in devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one achieves my association in this very life. For I am the Supreme Personality, the Absolute Truth. That's why. Thus, by not engaging in the service of the modes of material nature, because we think we're engaging in Krishna's service, we're engaging in the service of the mode. When we stop engaging in the service of the modes of nature. Sri Krishna to Uddhava, 11:11. One who is enlightened in self-realization, although living within the material body, sees himself as transcendental to the body, just as one who has arisen from a dream gives up identification with the dream body. A foolish person, however, although not identical with his material body, but transcendental to it, thinks himself to be situated in the body, just as one who is dreaming sees himself as situated in an imaginary body. Right? So they'll identify that way. But the transcendental person, they don't. So they don't see like that. It's just that clear. Like, you know, for us it may seem, oh, well, what is it exactly? But it's just like when you wake up from a dream, then those things, it's just a dream.
Yes.
You don't see yourself, you don't identify with that. So in the same way is that the material body, then one doesn't identify. One sees oneself as the soul, but this is the facility you have for serving Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? An enlightened person who is free from the contamination of material desire does not consider himself to be the performer of bodily activities. Rather, he knows that in all such activities, it is only the senses, born of the modes of nature, that are contacting sense objects, born of the same modes of nature. Right? We see again this point of material desire. It's always brought up. You know, it says, you know, conquering the modes and this and that. That's there. But it's when you give up free from the contamination of material desire, then you don't consider yourself the performer of bodily activities. Because if the interest is sense gratification, then what activities the body performs, that's yours to enjoy. But when you give up the desire to enjoy, then you give up the idea that you're the performer of the activities.
Yes.
Because the body is functioning under the modes, the sense is under the modes, the sense objects under the modes.
Yes.
Right? So it's just that you can see this happening.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, just like someone who's very knowledgeable, let's say, in some machinery, they know if you push this button, then that happens, and this and that, but they're not doing. They just know that that's how the machine works.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody doesn't, hey, see what I can do, and he pushes the button. You can't, the machine does that.
Mm-hmm.
But someone has the knowledge, they just know that they're arranging like this, and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just, what things the machine can do, then it's engaged properly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that you're thinking that I'm doing this. You know the machine's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. An enlightened person fixed in detachment engages his body in lying down, sitting, walking, bathing, seeing, touching, smelling, eating, hearing, and so on. A few more than the Shema, right? and so on. But is never entangled by such activities. Indeed, remaining as a witness to all bodily functions, he merely engages bodily senses with their objects and does not become entangled like an unintelligent person. Right, so at all these points, then he's always remembering the Lord, seeing his position. So that's the whole point. So that's the essential. Sukadev Goswami Tumaras Prikit from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2. For those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. Yeah. So, all these things that we see before about his transcendental position, its only purpose is aimed at the direct devotional service of the Lord. Right? Because if we stop at the other one, that's just the jnana aspect. But the whole point of that is to come to this position of that direct devotional service. Direct means it's just about devotional service. But indirect means that you're engaging all these other things. There's so many other things to gain. Like that, it gets to Krishna. But direct means it's just for Krishna. Things are only being done for Krishna. Right? The great personality Brahma, with great attention and concentration of the mind, studied the Vedas 3 times, and after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what...
He's already done the research.
Yes, yes, he's already done. That's the point. When some devotee was mentioning something, we have to research. Prabhupada said, what research? The research is already done. So Prabhupada didn't always was very careful about devotees using that context research like that because of that, right? It means research does have a meaning. Means if you the funny part is we'll take it. Research means we go in, we find out, we do everything, we analyze, we come to conclusions. But actually, I think when you look up the word research, it means to see what others have done. What's the opinion of the others and all that? No. Yeah, so it actually, if it's seen in its proper context, then research is proper. But if it's not, then it's just mental speculation. Yes.
It's interesting because it's mentioned here. So the first time he studied the Veda, he came to the conclusion karma is the same. And then he did whatever he did, but he wasn't satisfied. Then next time he realized, okay, I'll study again. And he studied, and he came to the conclusion, okay, dhyana is the thing.
Okay.
And then he, you know, contemplated a lot. And then after the third time, then he came to the bhakti, that's what it is.
Bhakti is, yeah.
So it took him a few thousand years.
Actually. Yeah.
And we get it like, ready, you know.
That's the point, is no skin, no seed, just ready for, and perfectly ripe and like that. So it's, that's the specialty. But because of the nature of thinking that something hard to get is something rare is more special, like that, this knowledge of pure devotion has been made so easily available by the mercy of Krishna and the devotees, we may think, oh no, something else is more difficult. So that's, we always have to watch out for that one.
Like in Nodi Rupa Goswami.
Sorry?
Initial verses, Rupa Goswami in Nodi, initial verses from the, it tells Sarva Padi Vinayavakutam and Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma. Give up Jnana and Karma.
Yes, give up, yes. That's good.
Maharaj, about this to study three times.
Study three times. Yes, so you're wanting to know when we finish the 12 years, are we going to go through another three times? So that means 27 years. And all that. I'm sure if you did that, then at the end you would be, you know, you would be able to relate to these verses here, the fortunate soul.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's try.
Huh?
Let's try.
But there is in the Vedic study, there is like can say reading, studying, meditating, something like that.
Means you're reading and studying. So reading is going to be part of hearing, the Shravana part process. You're studying, it's more as a context of manana. Because studying means then you should try to apply it.
Yes.
So the study is to see the context, how it works together, then like this.
Yes.
And then you should be trying to see how does this apply in the life, how, you know, the situations I'm in, how, you know, in this situation you do like this or that, or when you're in a situation, you try to apply, and then you may think after, how did that go, you know, what should have been done, like this. And so that practice, then after a while, then it starts that when you're actually applying it, you start to be able to act in the proper way. Right? But if you just leave it to when you're going to do something without contemplating, then you have to start thinking then.
Yes.
So you've already thought. So it would be more part of the manana.
Yes.
Like that. You're still in devotional service, you're still hearing.
Yes.
But we're talking about in gaining knowledge, that would be more of the manana. And then from that practice, then you'll get nididhyasana or realization.
Yes.
So nididhyasana means you're fixed in that.
Yes.
Like that. So you're fixed in the appropriateness of devotional service. And, you know, pure devotional service, that becomes the value.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Rather than we've heard about it, that it's good, or we're contemplating and seeing, and then, does that make sense? So if that contemplation is there, it moves forward. Because otherwise, like Brahma here, he tried. He took karma and all this. But now if we're looking at it from that aspect of manana, so we come up with these ideas of, okay, well, I need these situations for devotional service, then I'm able to work on that. But that should come by analyzation of the reality, not by specifically, we're not starting with our own taste.
Yes.
Right? We can see as, okay, I can see as that I like going to the programs and like that, and I like taking part in all that. And, you know, there's so many programs, and then if I try to go to all of them, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I can go to, you know, X amount of programs,
yes.
you know, in certain amount of time.
Yes.
And then I can do that steadily, mm-hmm. you know. And so, but you don't say that, oh, no, but people should only go to those. That's the difficulty, is then when we, based on that, that's what the people should do. It's
yes.
a matter of, this is what works for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we can see that others, like let's say we go to two programs a week, someone else may go to three.
Yes.
Right? Like that. And Radhanath Maharaj goes to 7, and then he disappears for a month. And goes to none. Yes. So like that, then you just see what works. And then, but that's through contemplation. But if it's like, you know, oh, but I need time for myself, and I need this, and I need that. But then that's not analyzing, why do you need time for yourself? For what? What is the gain? Mm-hmm. You know, if we just say, no, but then I'm more enthusiastic in devotion, have you analyzed that, or are you just saying that?
Yes.
There's a difference, because if you analyze it, yes, if I do this, or I sleep this much, or only eat this much, or, you know, like that, then you start to see is that it has an effect. And then you're able to be stable in devotional service, because stability is very important. Right? Because if you do something regularly, you have more of it. That's where you'll get the opportunity to have understanding and realization. Right? So that's what's there. The Bhagavatam is mentioning about being stable. But we should be able to see what is actually working and not look at it from attachment. Right? Because just because we analyze and see doesn't mean that we're not going to address the attachment or it won't be dealt with. It just means we know the position and where we're at. Because the attachment is connected with our conditioning. It's not connected with us. It's just the modes of nature. But our desire to control and enjoy, then certain activities, we've defined them, you know, by the flow, you know, the spool of, you know, desires. Then we're, yes, it's a spool that's unwinding at the same time, winding at the same time, right? You know, threads coming out, threads going in, right? So, then we're seeing that it's not us, but at the same time as identifying with that or being attached to that, we're comfortable in that, so therefore we'll work at this right now. But the point being is that the desire to come to the point of desirelessness, you know, means no material desire. That's what we want to get to. So as desires, as they start to go away, we shouldn't feel bad.
Yes.
Then the point is then what should you do? Take up a new material desire or take up the devotional activity? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Let's say one has an attachment for, let's say, reading, you know, whatever it is, popular magazines or something like that. And so one spends lots of time doing that. And then afterwards, then one, you know, gets fired up and chants one's rounds, gets really serious and all this kind of thing. Okay, nice. But knowing that it's not that because I read that magazine, that's why I chanted my rounds so nicely, then that's just gross materialism. That's not understanding at all, right? It's that... from that, now because you know you're not supposed to do this, and because you spent all afternoon doing that, and now you only have an hour left, you better be serious to get your rounds done. Right? But then, by chanting, by serving and all that, we might find that, you know, a day goes by, we skip a day or something like that, and we don't read, or we, you know, sometimes, you know, it starts to get less. But now, if we're thinking, oh, but now there's nothing to do, we shouldn't take up something else, some other mundane thing, you know, like playing video games or something. You know, it's just take up some devotional activity. Right? Does that make sense? So we start to replace these things. We start to be more engaged in the direct activities. Okay. Yes?
Kiva Goswami defines jnana in the jnana sadhana. He defines niridhyasana as engaging in worship of the Lord.
Yes.
Because manana after manana, the nidhyasana is like the realization is you're engaging in the worship of Lord.
Yes,
instead of just keeping it at that platform.
So that's I think Bhaktivinoda Thakura mentions the same. Is that it means worship of the Lord.
Yes.
Like that. It means you can look at it from the mundane platform. It just means that you have a value and everything like that. But it means you value worshiping the Lord. You're doing that beforehand as sadhana. But now you value it. That's why you're doing it.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Maharaj, then shravana means you have heard a principle, then manana means you see how you get connected to that.
Yes.
And then as a result, then you are doing, then, engaged in the service.
Yes, applying it to the Lord. Yeah. Yes. So, good. Does that make sense? So, And that way it's progressive. You know that I'm on this level. It's not ideal. Mm. But because of conditioning and attachment, we're here.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the fact.
Yes.
And we're not trying to rationalize it or this or that. It's just the fact, and that's the way it is. So then one performs devotional service, and with time that starts to lessen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's another application of the meaning of lesson. Not just that what you're learning gets less, but your material attachment, you know, means you're supposed to give up the material attachments, so they lessen. So you're learning, you know, you're learning your lessons when the material attachment is lessening.
Yes. Can you also make a correspondence with someone that will be able to
Yes, yes, you could. Sambandha is your hearing. You're removing doubts. You're establishing your understanding of what you should do, and then being confident in that. Then you apply it as Abhideya.
Yeah.
And then from that, it brings to the point of Prayojana, where then you're situated in devotional service.
Because sometimes, you know, I realize that by reading, for example, like Bhagavad Gita, some portion, I am now testing more.
You are?
Testing.
Testing. Oh, tasting.
Testing, yes,
yes, of course. The process works.
Yes.
We just have to stick at it. It's not that whether it works or not, or maybe it works, or it's Tuesday, it doesn't work. No, it always works. If we just stick to it, we have that faith, that sincerity, then it always works. That's why the Purana is so important, because it gives the histories of all those persons who, practicing it, they became perfect.
Yes, yes.
And so then we're inspired.
Yes, yes, yes.
That if we do this, then it will happen.
Yes, yes.
So.
Yes, yes.
The person. Okay. Those who drink, so we're continuing with Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj Prakrit. We read those who drink through oral reception?
Yes.
No.
I don't think so. No.
We didn't drink.
It may have been, it's been in another section. So we have read it at some point. Like sometimes here, I think it was even in, we might have, yeah, it's the same verses come up a few times already. Right? Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, maybe we just got that far. The beloved devotees purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. Okay, so through oral reception, and like you say, that you're tasting, so that's why we say the nectarian message. They drink,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's just as you go, it becomes that's just proof of the process.
Yes.
Right? Prabhupada says the proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Yes.
Right? So
the proof here is in drinking.
Yes, here is in drinking, but we don't mean the proof in drinking as the sabaras get into. No.
Yes.
The personified Vedas to Mahavishnu, 10:87. The mind is like an impetuous horse that even persons who have regulated their senses and breath cannot control. Those in this world who try to tame the uncontrolled mind, but who abandon the feet of their spiritual master, encounter hundreds of obstacles in their cultivation of various distressful practices. So the practice is distressful, and they encounter obstacles. O unborn Lord, they are like merchants on a boat in the ocean who have failed to employ a helmsman.
Yes.
Right? They want to make profit. They don't want to pay the helmsman, so they'll make more profit. But then they can't. They don't know where to go. Right? Kapila Dev to Devahuti from 325. Bhakti, devotional service, dissolves the subtle body of the living entity without separate effort, just as fire in the stomach digests all that we eat. Therefore, persons whose minds are fixed on the Lord engage in the intensive practice of devotional service. That is the only means for attainment of the final perfection of life. Yeah. So there isn't any other method. Right? So therefore that drops the thing of, you know, by this material arrangement, then I'm able to do devotional service, because there isn't another method.
Yes.
Right? It's the idea that I'm connecting this to Krishna. That's what makes it work. And so the thing, whatever it is that we're, you know, attached to, that becomes purified.
Yes.
And we're able to, and because of that purification, we get engaged in Krishna service. But it's not the thing itself, because there's no other means except pure devotion.
Mm-hmm.
There, it just isn't another process. Sutta Goswami to Shonaka Rishi, 1-2.
Prabhupada, you know, he has given us the morning program from Mangaladitam to Bhagavatam. So that is, we can see it as the intense practice of devotional service. Can we see it?
Intense?
Yeah.
Where are you getting intense
44
from?
44
verse. In the intense practice. Engage in the intense practice of devotional service. Just devotional service itself is the intense practice. Intensive, because it's just focused. Intense means it's focused.
Yes.
It's not all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like that. So you could say is that Prabhupada accomplishes that for us in the morning program, so at least from, you know, from Mangalartik until Prashad, then there's that, you know, an intense absorption.
Yes.
Like that. But devotional service, it's intensive, because in other words, you're doing that and something else and something else, and then it's not intensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so vyavasayatmika buddhi, that's intensive.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it say that we serve the subtle body?
So you're worried that you'll wake up in the morning and there'll be a pool on the floor of your subtle body and all that. And I guess I'll get out on the other side. Right? That's why you always want to keep your bed in the middle like that, so you can get out on the other side in case your subtle body dissolved during the night. And you don't want to step in it. You know. Means that the control that the mind, the false ego, you know, the speculation, the attachment to the senses, engagement in the senses, all these things have, then that gets dissolved. So all there's left is the spiritual consideration. So you're working with the spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence, spiritual senses, spiritual consciousness. Yeah. But don't worry, there won't be a puddle on the floor. Unless you were thinking it will dissolves and evaporates like gas or something like that, you know, then just keep the window open. Yeah, and then you know, so you get the banging on the door and says, "Are you dissolving your subtle body again? You know, can you keep the window closed?" You know, yeah. Like that. Yeah, you know, just open the window on the other side. You know, like that.
And if somebody somebody cannot have a door, can I come again? can I come back again?
Yes. I mean, if they want to come in and dissolve their subtle body, they can, but otherwise I don't know if you'd want to.
Because it's particularly, it seems that sometimes when we get we advance in spiritual life, we get some realization, it seems that there is no obstacle, no like that. And it seems that the material desire are dissolved. But
yes,
it can come back.
Can come back. That's there. It's just a matter of, that's the meaning of when we're not so steady.
Yes.
Right? Means at every platform that you're dealing with, means when you have the anarta nivritti,
mm-hmm.
right? And the six stages of that. Now, in its most external form, that will be happening, you know, during Anishta Bhajana Kriya.
Yes.
Right? And then when that becomes reduced, then you'll take up Nishta Bhajana Kriya.
Yes. Yes.
But, I think in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami is talking about Anarta Nivritti, and he's applying that when Anarta Nivritti is complete, and he's talking about the state of Bhava.
Okay.
Right? So that means that principle is always going on.
Yes.
So even you're, you know, doing something in a more advanced level, there'll be that initial enthusiasm, then there'll be one day it's happening, one day it's not, you know, then does that make sense? So it'll have those same stages. They may be quicker, they may be more subtle. But that's just how anything works. Yes.
Also, there is one more aspect, Maharaj. This Jiva Goswami mentions that in aspects where you are ignorant about the aparadha you are committing, that will not impede your bhakti in other aspects where you are advancing. But knowing, after knowing willfully you are committing offense, then it will stop.
Okay.
That's why this dynamics is still there, that even after bhava, then someone might have to know.
Yeah, so one has to be aware.
Yes.
You okay? Said one thing. Keep a bucket and a rag, you know. Okay. Suta Goswami Dishonika Rishi from 1-2. The transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with the three modes of material nature, namely passion, goodness, and ignorance. And just for the material world's creation, maintenance, and destruction, he accepts the three qualitative forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. Firewood is a transformation of earth, but smoke is better than raw wood. Okay, firewood, okay, yeah. So you have earth and that turns into wood. But smoke is better than raw wood. And fire is still better again. For by fire we can derive the benefits of superior knowledge through Vedic sacrifices. Similarly, passion, rajas, is better than ignorance, tamas. But goodness, sattva, is the best, because by goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. Right, so when you're taking up the earth, the transformation of that till you get fire, then fire can be engaged in Vedic sacrifice. Right? So that's the whole idea. So, in the same way, passion is better than ignorance, but goodness is the best, because that can be nicely engaged in the Lord's service. Well, the other two, it's more difficult. Yeah, passion is used to get one out of ignorance. One doesn't do something, but because there's no interest. As soon as there's an interest, then that moves forward like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Previously, all the great sages rendered service under the personality of Godhead due to his existence above the three modes of material nature. They worship him to become free from material conditions and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world. Right? So that's, we follow in the footsteps of the great personalities. They're engaging in activities that take one beyond the material world. So if we follow that, we'll also get the same effect.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Those who are serious about liberation are certainly non-envious, and they respect all. Yet they reject the horrible and ghastly forms of the demigods and worship only the all-blissful forms of Lord Vishnu in his preliminary portions. So though they are non-envious, it doesn't mean that they're envious of the demigods and all that, and all the different varieties of activities that are all connected. It's just that they are just only interested in worshipping the all-blissful forms of Vishnu and his expansions. That's their only interest. So that's the point, is that they're giving up the non-envy, but it's being applied to devotional service. Right? So it's not just you're giving up envy and you're applying it on the social platform.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, because you're still able to distinguish how to deal. It means if you're acting as an avidhut, you don't have to. It doesn't matter. Right, because Krishna will take care of things and all that. As we see, like with the Avantipur Brahman, or with
Jadabharat,
or Rishabdev, Dattatreya. You see that they're just wandering, and they're not worrying about anything.
Yes.
But then, if somebody qualified, then ask a proper question and all that, then they'll come to the Madhyama platform, make the distinction, and then speak according to whoever they're speaking to. Like you see with Prickett Maharaj, so many times he would refer, especially with the kings. You know, he would put some, he would bring out aspects that are there, especially if it was his family lineage, and especially it was showing his connection of his family to Krishna. You know, because that's him. You know, if he's speaking to someone else, when he's speaking to Shonaka Rishi, he doesn't do that. With Shonaka, he'll bring out the aspect of Bhrigu and the Brahmins, and like you can see, it switches in what's happening. Like when Sutta is speaking, you see he's favoring that position of Shonaka Rishi, right, and showing that aspect. But when he's discussing Sukadev to Parikshit Maharaj, you see it's favoring the position as the king. So they'll make that distinction. But you see, other than that, then they don't bother. Because they're just seeing the modes and this and that, so they're not worried about it. But if someone asks and wants to actually know how to get beyond, then they'll speak. But according to the nature of the person they're dealing with. Does that make sense? So that's the... Yeah, so they're non-envious, it's just that they understand what transcendence is and prefer transcendence. The others, you just, you know, it's happening. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance worship the forefathers, other living beings, and the demigods who are in charge of cosmic activities, right? Because they do all these because of the benefit. You worship the forefathers, then, you know, you want to do the benefit for the forefathers. But if you do that, then it'll also be that it'll get handed down. And then when you're in that position, then you'll get the benefit. So it does have that kind of aspect of that long-term consideration. Right, forefathers, other living beings, demigods, so that they're trying to get some benefit. Right? For they are urged by a desire to be materially benefited with women, wealth, power, and progeny. In the revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please him. Yoga is for realizing him. All fruit of activities are ultimately rewarded by him only. Basically showing right from the beginning that everything is just connected to Krishna. That's his purpose. It's coming from Krishna, and it's meant for Krishna. You know, it's like the, like you said, the in Gujarat, when they send things to Srinath. You know, the package or like that, it'll always say from Srinath, for Srinath. You know, they're not saying this is ours and we're giving it to Srinath. They're saying he's given this and then we're giving it to him. Right there.
Krishna tells in the sacrifice of food, if the people who doesn't offer it to me and take it, they don't do it, they are thieves.
Yes, they're a thief.
They eat only sin.
Sin, yes, because it's Krishna's, and so then there's stealing it. Yeah. He is the supreme knowledge, and all severe austerities are performed to know him. Religion, dharma, is rendering loving service unto him. He is the supreme goal of life. So with this definition, this is how things work. You look at it this way. Then it works very nicely. And it's not that you don't get things done, and that Prabhupada's looking at this, and you see he was very successful in working. Because whose material energy is it? Right? It's Krishna's. So it's not going to work in some other way. So how the materialists say you have to do this, you have to do that, it doesn't have anything to do with that. Does that make sense? You know, sometimes you have, let's say you have something, and that, you know, it has certain ways it works. And then there's a child there. And you'll start to do something. No, you have to put this here and do this, that, and this one, this, and that. It's just how they're playing with it. And, you know, and they're getting some fun out of it. But as far as it actually working, it has nothing to do with what they're saying. You know what I'm saying? Because if we say, if they're so successful, who is so successful? Who is still successful?
In the actual
Yeah, so that's the whole point, is this, where are the Romans? I don't mean the guys from Rome, I mean the culture, the Romans, you know, Caesar and all those Wallace. Where are they? Yeah, it's not even there. They're just Italians now. You know what I'm saying? All these things are all gone. You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty. It's so they're saying it comes up, it's prominent, and then it disappears. That's the whole thing. But you see, in India, then the Vedic culture and all those things, it's been prominent like that. It's always been going like this. Because they follow that, they have that, they follow the laws of nature as Krishna gives it. And so it's consistent. But these other things, they all say is, no, this is the way you should do it. And then you see after some time, depending upon what field it is, they'll say, oh, it's another way. You know? So that's the problem. It always keeps changing. So. Yeah. So the whole point is it's all about Krishna. There's not something else. That's the method. That's the goal. That's the process. That's the knowledge.
Right? No, this is a fortunate soul.
Yes, the fortunate soul. And if you don't think like that, it's less fortunate.
It's conditioned.
Yes, then it's conditioned. And so, if you want to become fortunate, then you try to follow this path. You know, as I said before, if you follow that, then it will work. Yeah, previously all the great sages rendered service unto the personality of Godhead due to his existence above the three modes of material nature. They worship him to become free from material conditions and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Right? Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world.
Yes.
Right? But if we make up our own idea, then, you know, where will that take us? And we'll say it does this, we'll say it does that, but it doesn't. Shivas to Prachetas, 4:24. Any person who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the controller of everything, material nature as well as the living entity, is actually very dear to me. Yeah, they're dear to Lord Shiva, right? So then he's the greatest devotee, and so by the blessing of the devotee, then it works very well. Nagapatnis to Sri Krishna, from 10:16. We offer our obeisances unto you, the unlimited Supreme Lord, the supremely subtle one, the omniscient personality of Godhead, who are always fixed in unchanging transcendence, who sanction the opposing views of different philosophies, who are the power upholding expressed ideas and words that express them. We offer our obeisances again and again to you, who are the basis of all authoritative evidence, who are the author and ultimate source of the revealed scriptures, and who have manifested yourself in those Vedic literatures encouraging sense gratification, as well as in those encouraging renunciation of the material world. So everything's coming from him, everything's based on him, therefore one should focus on him. Okay, chapter 10. Characteristics of the inconceivable oneness and difference. Achintya Bheda Veda Lakshanam. Riti. Having established the positions of Chit, Achit, and Ishwara in chapters 4 through 9, in chapter 10 the author describes a relationship between them. Right? Because you have to know these three. Sambandhi Jnana means knowing these three and their relationship.
Yes.
Right? Because you're knowing the three to understand how they relate.
Yes.
Just knowing them without. So we see is that these other philosophies, they don't properly know Chit, Achit, and Ishwara.
Yes,
and
yes.
Therefore they can't actually know the proper relationship.
Yes, yes.
Right? Sri Krishna Uddhava from 3:4. O Uddhava, in the lotus millennium, in the days of yore, in the beginning of creation.
Lotus millennium,
Satya? Seems to be the millennium. Oh, and Brahma's on the lotus, I think it's that. Yeah, because then you have Sweta Varaha Kalpa and different, so you have all these different kalpas. How they work, have you seen a list of names of kalpas or every day?
Padma Kalpa and that. only 2-3 kalpas we have.
Yeah. I mean, because it's a full day of Brahma, so. Yeah. Padma, what did you say? Lotus? Okay, Padma, maybe that's it. This is the lotus,
this is
the Padma Kalpa.
When Krishna spoke to Brahma when he was born.
When he was born, that's the Padma Kalpa. Okay. That day.
That's just a nice day.
Yeah. I spoke unto Brahma, who is situated on the lotus that grows out of my navel, about my transcendental glories, which the great sages describe in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Krishna to Brahma, 2-9. The personality of Godhead said, knowledge about me as described in the scriptures is very confidential, and it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. So hearing it and not performing devotional service under the authority of superior spiritual authorities, it won't work. So many people read the knowledge but don't understand it. So when this knowledge is heard from authority and applied in devotional service, then Krishna will reveal himself. Then we'll understand. The necessary paraphernalia for that process is being explained by me. You may take it up carefully. Right? So Krishna explained the necessary paraphernalia. All of me, namely my actual eternal form, my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities, let all be awakened within you by factual realization, out of my causeless mercy. Right? So the point is this: you gain this from him.
Yes.
He reveals it. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was it the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead.
Maharaj, this particular chapter on Achintya Veda Ved, and when we understand it from this particular tattva, Achintya Veda tattva, then the other sampradayas, you know, their understanding will be according to their tattvas, right? The same words.
See, as Achintya Veda Veda tattva is the Vedic tattva, right? And then a portion of that then will be, you know, portions of that, this portion or that, or this combination of portions, that will be the other philosophies.
Yes.
Like that. It's not that it's there's just all these alternate philosophies. There's the whole philosophy, and then there's part. You know, it's just like, let's say you have the wedding feast. Okay? That's generally considered the biggest meal you can get, right? So, does that not include preparations that are in you know, more of a, you know, just like say you have some special guests.
Yes.
Right. You know, who does it include things that you might have in a snack?
Yes.
No, you know, is that morning snack, an afternoon snack, a midnight snack, a 2 o'clock at, you know, chopati snack, you know. So all the variety of snacks. No?
Yes.
So that's the whole point. And in themselves, they're complete, they're nice, people are very happy taking their snacks, they're not eating their snack down there and thinking, wow, I really wish I had some, you know, dal and chapatis. Right? You know, they're good. So that's the whole point, is that it's coming from Krishna, it's perfect and complete. But the point is, the Achintya Veda Veda Tattva contains all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's in the Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Mm-hmm. So if you understand this, you'll understand any of the other philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Philosophy and Sampradaya.
Yes.
So in the Gita, 13th chapter is Panchatattva Ishvara. And the 14th, and we can say the 15th chapter mainly is explaining the whole Achintya Veda Veda.
15 in Gita.
Because it's called as Purushottam Yoga. It explains the three of the material world, Ram, all the connections, how.
I would say it means all the Vedic literatures are explaining Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. That was Brahma's realization after he spoke with Narad Muni. Why it wasn't complete? Because he had presented the Vedic literatures not from the angle of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva.
Yes.
Therefore, he wasn't fully satisfied. So having then heard from Narad Muni, then contemplating that, then he had that realization. So Bhagavatam is fully presenting that. And you see when it's there, it's just like the Mahabharata that's then mentioned in the first canto. Then you see it's just about Krishna like this. Now, from that vision, now if you look at Mahabharata, you'll see the same thing. But if you haven't seen it from Bhagavatam, you'll see something else. So it's just there. So it will depend upon who's commenting on the Gita, because everybody commented on the Gita. All the acharyas would comment, because that's your fundamentals of spiritual knowledge. Like that. So it's just, that's what you do. But they'll be bringing out those angles that match that portion of the philosophy that Lord Chaitanya gave them. Does that make sense?
Because even for Vedanta Sutras, the third adhyaya, for the chapter 3, we are dealing with Achintya Bhidhavit Tattva, but the same thing for some difficult things, I was referring to the Sri Bhashya, and then that was on Vishishta Advait, their philosophy, special difference. So then it was completely different, because and the explanation was so different that I did not just refer to it.
No, because they're bringing out other aspects. His point is, as we said, because the Chinta Beta Beta Tattva contains all of these, then those aspects that might in that context of a Chinta Beta Beta Tattva, that some detail maybe, Ramanujacharya has brought out some certain aspects, then we'll use that. Like you see Prabhupada many times is quoting from Raghavacharya? Viraraghavacharya.
Yes.
And I know he's a Sri Vaishnava. And then we're always quoting from Sridhar Swami.
Yes.
And I think in the Vishnu Swami line.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that'll be Vishuddha, right? Ramanuja is Vishishta Dwait?
Yeah,
so it's Vishuddha Dwait. I know. No?
Vishnu Swami Rudra Sampada.
Yes. And I know. Because Nimbarka is Dwait Adwait. And then Madhva and the Brahma is Dwait. Great. Yeah, so it's just that you see it in that context, and it brings out some detail, and it's very nice. But as a full explanation, then the problem is it won't work for us, because it's not being explained from that angle.
It wasn't contradicting, but the thing is that it wasn't a Chinta Bhidhavi, so it wasn't even complete, as
well. No, but it's just, that's why I'm saying, you only use it to explain that portion of a Chinta Bhidhavi that you want to, but you have to see it in the context.
Yeah.
Oh, Brahma, right? So everything's Krishna, so there isn't anything that's not Krishna.
Yes.
So everything has to be seen in connection to Krishna, right? Oh, Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. No, it is my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Right? So it appears to be, but it's Krishna's energy. So we see it separate from, but it appears to be. And so that's the point, is whatever you value, anything that you value according to your conditioning, if you're not seeing it connected to Krishna, it is illusion. Krishna says right here. So that's not the thing. Oh, this is there. That's, it's doing so much for my service. And like, no, it's illusion if you're not seeing it connected. If you're seeing it as, by doing this, then I'm comfortable to engage, then that's reality. But to say, no, this is what's causing it, then that's illusion.
Yes.
Because if it's not devotional service, you're not connecting it to Krishna, means you're not, it's illusion.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the point, is within everything, so there's nothing that's outside of that. That means every individual can take their values and connect it to Krishna. Not that, oh yeah, well those things will, but mine won't. Mine are so different. No, because everything's Krishna. So there's no question of it not. Then the third. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Mm-hmm. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. Right? Because then he is the person. Right? So he sees that the first is just the position. The second is then that aspect is related to him. So it's Paramatma, and this third is Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So he exists outside of this. It means he is everything, but he as a person is still outside of that everything. Mm-hmm. Right? And whatever the values we're connecting and following the rules and all that, he's still beyond that, because it still has to be, you're seeing these first two in connection to pleasing Krishna. That's when you get to the person. A person who is searching after the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, right? Up to this point of up to this Bhagavan understanding,
yes.
Right? Through these other needs, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So there's no situation where you wouldn't be applying it.
Yes.
And we saw before that the liberated souls, they are doing that.
Yes.
They're able to do that.
Yes.
Okay. Brahma to Narad Muni. From 2.5. After the incarnation of the first Purusha, Karana Dakshai Vishnu, the Mahatattva, or the principles of material creation, take place. And then time is manifested. And in course of time, the three qualities appear. Nature means the three qualitative appearances. They transform into activity. So when you say someone's nature, or what is nature, it means these the three modes of nature. Right?
Mm.
That's a,
yes.
Like that. So, because they transform into activities. It's the modes that make all the activities, all the things, everything that we're, the senses, the sense objects, the activities between them, results you can get, the knowledge you can have. It's just the modes.
Yes.
Right? Material activities are caused by the Mahatattvas being agitated. At first, there is transformation of the modes of goodness and passion. And later, due to the mode of ignorance, matter, its knowledge, and different activities of material knowledge come into play. So interesting, matter, the knowledge of matter, and the different activities of material knowledge. In other words, everything that we consider in the modern thing as this is substance, right, is all coming later from the mode of ignorance.
Yes.
What to do? The self-centered materialistic ego, thus being transformed into three features, right, goodness, passion, ignorance, becomes known as the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance in three divisions, namely the power that evolves matter, knowledge of material creations, and the intelligence that guides such materialistic activities. Right, so you have the powers that evolve the matter, because the matter has to transform.
Yeah.
Right, we're not transforming it. Then you have to have the knowledge of the material creations, how it's all functioning.
Yeah.
But then you have to actually have the intelligence that guides how you're going to go through it.
Yes.
Right. So having the knowledge isn't enough. Just because you have the knowledge, like you go to school, you learn the knowledge. They never give you the intelligence.
Yeah.
It is not said on any, school, educational institution that we give you the intelligence. They'll never bring it up. How can they? Right? Does that make sense? So it's because Krishna's intelligence. So they can't, unless they're saying, we'll give you Krishna. Okay. Then. Narad, you are quite competent to understand this.
Okay. They say that knowledge is God.
Yes.
So that is the supreme.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying you can put that in the list with Eric Clapton and, how you say it. All the others.
The fun part is they expect the parents to be intelligent. So one of the first thing they check the parents. It's a very serious thing in the schools now. These big schools, international schools. If you don't join at 3, then you're already out of the race.
What?
Yes. For this kid to join at 3, the parents should be a qualified professional.
They have to give the entry.
Oh, you mean unless the parents are qualified individuals, you don't even take the interview for the kid to come in at 3?
Yeah. Yes.
And there is a serious interview of the parents. It's not easy thing.
What are they asking the parents?
Basically, how much are they qualified and when they did it, what they do in their profession.
And also,
so
how
more tension for
earn.
The parents than the
and kids. How much they earn, yes. I think they have to bring a thing of showing their bank and what they spend and how they spend it.
Unless you earn, like, no, paying 3 lakhs per year for a small kid. It's out of the question. It's expected.
And that's nursery.
Yeah. Not even nursery.
Hmm?
Not even nursery. Play school.
Play school. Play school. Oh, okay.
Nowadays it's like 2 to 2.5 years, you can send school.
Play school. Then you go to nursery, then you go to kindergarten, then you start first grade.
I thought that's all kindergarten.
Hmm?
It used to be all called kindergarten.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, before you didn't even have to do that. It was one thing you could. You just started first grade.
Yes.
It was an option. Well, now I think you actually have to.
If you are from those play schools, you can have easy entry to those high schools, means high-end schools.
Okay.
Even there.
Okay. So when they check, when you're going for the IIT, they check which play school you went to.
How much you played?
How much you played?
More than 50% don't get into IIT are from villages. Where they study from by play school.
Okay.
Because they have that.
Well, because they still have focus because they live, they breathed air and drank milk. So.
And didn't go to play school.
Yeah, yeah. They probably herded actually buffaloes and stuff like that. So they know how to manage, right? Like that.
Plenty of free time.
Yeah. Did you herd buffalo? No. Why would I herd buffalo? What can you herd?
So with buffalo meat, we need to study more than 3 times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have the Kilastika Moisha Bandhana Shastra. You know, so. No? He wasn't here. Missed out. You have to ask the others about that. Kilastika Moisha Bandhana Shastra.
From the darkness of false ego.
From the darkness of false ego, the first of the 5 elements, namely sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is in relation with the seen. Because the sky is transformed, the air is generated with the quality of touch. And by previous succession, the air is also full of sound and the basic principles of duration of life, sense perception, mental power, and bodily strength, right, because of the vital air. Right? When the air is transformed in course of time and nature's course, fire is generated, taking shape with the sense of touch and sound. Since fire is also transformed, there is a manifestation of water, full of juice and taste. As previously, it also has form and touch, and is also full of sound. And water, being transformed from all variegatedness on earth, appears odorous, and as previously becomes qualitatively full of juice, touch, sound, and form, respectively. And so we see is that all these things are coming down. It's all by the Lord's control. It's not just happening.
Yes.
Maitreya Rishi Govidura from 310. Maitreya said, "Eternal time is the primeval source of the interaction of the 3 modes of material nature. It is unchangeable and limitless. It works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pastimes in the material creation. This cosmic manifestation is separated from the Supreme Lord as material energy by means of kala, which is the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Lord. It is situated as the objective manifestation of the Lord, under the influence of the same material energy of Vishnu." Yeah, so time, just things are able to move, things are able to transform. That happens within time. Time is then what's doing this. But then also we see this time separates it from the Lord, separates the material energy, because then there's that movement.
Yes.
Right?
Agitator of action.
Yes, it agitates, it creates the action. Because otherwise, it's even you're sitting there, and then what happens when you're sitting doing nothing, and as time goes by, what happens? You become agitated. You want to do something. So that's just it. Time creates action.
Time is the energy of the world, part of the Mahamaya, or it's different?
Because it's what is. It's his impersonal feature. It's an aspect of his impersonal feature. Because all the qualities are there. So that's why I also say the Brahman is the basis of everything. One is that it has existence, but two is because of the time.
Sometimes it's called also the chakra.
Yeah. Because it's always revolving, it's moving. Because the circle keeps going around, so you don't have to worry it's going to run into something. Because everything moves in a cycle anyway. Because in the material world, no one's getting anywhere. It just appears. It's just like the hamster on the wheel. It looks like it's getting somewhere. You know, but it's not getting anywhere. Yeah. But Sri Krishna to Uddhava from 11:19. I personally approve of that knowledge by which one sees the combination of 9, 11, 5, and 3 elements in all living entities, and ultimately one element within those 28. When one no longer sees the 28 separated material elements, which arise from a single cause, but rather sees the cause itself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at that time, one's direct experience is called vijnana, or self-realization. Right? So that's why it's ultimately there's one within the 28.
Yes.
Right? All the different ways you can see the material energy, how you're combining, how you're categorizing. Ultimately, these all come to, it's all coming from Lord. When you see like that, whatever is the grouping,
yes,
then Krishna says that's self-realization.
Yes. Yes.
Commencement, termination, and maintenance are the stages of material causation. That which consistently accompanies all these material phases from one creation to another and remains alone when all material phases are annihilated is the one eternal. Right? In other words, Krishna. An intelligent person should see that any material activity is subject to constant transformation and that even on the planet of Lord Brahma, there is thus simply unhappiness. Indeed, a wise man can understand that just as all that he has seen is temporary, similarly all things within the universe have a beginning and end. It means whatever you've seen is temporary. So it's the same. On Brahma's plate, it's the same thing. Just it's a longer temporary. Yes.
So first, we are seeing the cause and the effect and going to the ultimate cause, which is Krishna. Now we are seeing how the effect is separate from
Yes, because that's the thing, is that it's all coming from Krishna, but it's separate. Like, because in the Chatushloki, then you have the aspect. It's all him. Whatever is the value means that you're going to connect to, it's all him. But at the same time, he's separate. That's what is unique. Others won't talk on this point. They'll take one aspect of it and just focus on that. It'll be part of this, is that, you know, connecting everything to Krishna and seeing everything in relationship to Krishna.
Yes.
Right? If we say that, then it is perfect.
Yes.
Right? It's not something wrong. But then that's all the philosophy will talk about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like that? Right? That uniqueness of that relationship. The other one will talk about the purity of that relationship.
Yes.
And the other will talk about, you know, he's this and he's that. You know, but they won't put it simultaneous.
Yes, yes.
Or they're not even going to do that. No, he's just two. We're not dealing with any.
Yes.
You know, you can't even say the word one. Because if you do, the Maya bodies will... But you said one. You know, no. He's the best.
Yes.
Sri Krishna Uddhava, 11:10. Just as fire which burns and illuminates is different from firewood, which is to be burned to give illumination, Similarly, the seer within the body, the self-enlightened spirit soul, is different from the material body, which is to be illuminated by consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, the illumination, that's the fire.
Yes.
Thus, the spirit soul and the body possess different characteristics and are separate entities. So, just as the firewood is burnt by the fire, which is different than the wood, the same is that the living entity, through consciousness, illuminates the body and engages it in the Lord's service. And by doing that, then that purifies the existence, and that body is burnt up in the process. Right? So then, at the end of this body, you don't get another material body. Right? Because this body is not just, it's this body that is being given up. It's the spool of karmic reactions due to material desire. That's why it always says desire, because the bija means karma. It always starts from the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? From the seed, then when you start to operate, then it sprouts, then that was going to give grow the tree, and then that's going to give the fruit.
Yes.
Right? So, when you give up the beads, you give up the whole process. Right? It's like if you give up seeds, then there's no plants.
Yes.
Right? So that's the whole point. But if you cultivate the plant in any of these forms, you're going to get seeds.
Yes.
Is that? Yeah. Yeah. So that's the whole process that you're doing, is that you're able to use the body, which is material energy. It's not the soul, but to come to the platform of self-realization. Just as fire may appear differently as dormant, manifest, weak, brilliant, and so on, according to the condition of the fuel, similarly the spirit soul enters a material body and accepts particular bodily characteristics. Right? So then dormant means like, you know, the, what do you call it? The, what is it? The trees and rocks and all those things like that. Then manifest, you get the animals, then weak, then brilliant, and so on. Right? So then it goes up according to your level of consciousness. Sri Krishna to Uddhava. Right? Then you can see this connection. From 11:22, made to wander as the reaction of his fruitive work, the conditioned soul, by contact with the mode of goodness, takes birth among the sages or demigods. By contact with the mode of passion, he becomes a demon or human being. And by associating with the mode of ignorance, he takes birth as a ghost or in the animal kingdom. Just as one may imitate persons whom one sees dancing and singing, similarly, the soul, although never the doer of material activities, becomes captivated by material intelligence and is thus forced to imitate its qualities. Right? So the intelligence means then you're applying the senses, you're discerning, and then you're seeing according to these modes. Right? Various activities that are there, and then seeing that, then you just copy that. Right? Yeah. The soul's material life, his experience of sense gratification, is actually false, because it's nothing to do with him. O descendant of Dasara, just like trees, the appearance of quivering when the trees are afflicted in agitated water, or like the earth's appearance of spinning due to one spinning his eyes around, or like the world of a fantasy or dream. So it appears that the tree is moving on the water, but it actually isn't. But if you look at the water and focus on the water, then the tree is moving. But when you see the real tree, you see it's not. So when we focus on the body and things connected with it, then we see all this, you know, the activities and all the ups and downs and emotions. But if you look at the soul, then... right, because so that's the point, is that it's one and different. Living entity is connected with the body, but not... Right? So this has to be seen on all these. You're seeing how does the soul connect with energy? How does it connect with the Lord? How does the material energy connect with the Lord? Right? So all these three, Chit, Achit, Ishwar, and how they connect to each other.
Right? If we study cause and effect, and then the cause is within the effect. We can see that. Can we come to Bhagavan realization by that kind of study?
It depends upon if you're following, you know, what's these definitions. If you're seeing the Lord and how he is, then by your seeing, okay, the Lord's done this, this is how the creation comes down, so you can see those aspects of the Lord in what you're here that you can see, that you're visible.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're starting from Shabda.
Yeah.
And then by contemplating that, you can actually see it with your senses. That's Pratyaksha.
Right.
So, yes, that's the process. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it's not that the thing itself is what's revealing, it's that you're seeing it in the context as it is being explained here. You know, in connection to Krishna. That's why you'll see it. Because Krishna being pleased, because he said before, he's very pleased with this. I am personally approve of that knowledge by which one sees the combination of 9, 11, 5, and 3 elements in all living entities. And ultimately, one element within those 28. So when you see it like that, then you'll get that realization.
So without the guidance of the Shastra, we will never come to that conclusion.
No, never. And not only the guidance of the Shastra, guidance of the Shastra under the bona fide authority.
Yes.
Is that? For one who is meditating on sense gratification, material life, although lacking factual existence, does not go away. Even though it's not, yeah. Just as the unpleasant experiences of a dream do not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, if you ever think of them, then it comes back up, you get the experience again.
Yes.
But if you do something else and that's not connected with the dream, you don't, well, what do you need the dream for?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Swayambhuva Manu 8:1. Lord Manu said, the Supreme Living Being has created this material world of animation. It is not that he was created by this material world. When everything is silent, the Supreme Being stays awake as a witness. The living entity does not know him, but he knows everything. Yeah, so he sees animation started here. Yeah. Because he's awake as a witness, that's why when we wake up we can know if we slept well or not, because Krishna saw, right? Within this universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his Supersoul feature, is present everywhere. Wherever there are animate or inanimate things, beings, therefore one should accept only that which is allotted to him. One should not desire to infringe upon the property of others. Because otherwise, then the point is it's all the Lord, so he's given you this much, just take that. Is someone else? No, God's given that to them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no end, and no middle. Nor does he belong to a particular person or nation. He has no inside or outside. The dualities found within this material world, such as beginning and end, mine and theirs, are all absent from the personality of the Supreme Lord. This universe, which emanates from him, is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate truth, and he is complete in greatness. Right? So, ourselves, we see in connection to the Lord, and the material nature is Krishna's. We engage what material nature we're in contact with, you know, allotted in the relationship, you know, in the connection with the Lord. And because it is the Lord's, we don't bother someone else's, you know, connection.
Yes,
Ishvashan principle. Yes, Ishvashan. Yes. That's why I said Vaishnavas don't bother other living entities.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of them. It's not take their stuff. Right? Don't envy their donkey. Gajendra to Sri Vishnu, 8:3. The Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform on which everything rests.
It's a serious instruction.
It is. The Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform on which everything rests, the ingredient by which everything has been produced, and the person who has created and is the only cause of this cosmic manifestation. Right? It rests on him, he's the ingredients, he's the creation created from those ingredients, and he's where everything goes. Right? He has immense potency and in various forms, all free from material contamination. He acts wonderfully. He is therefore the Supreme Brahman. I offer my respects to him. Vasudev to Krishna and Balaram from 1085. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who manifests as the Lord of both nature and the Creator of nature, Mahavishnu. Everything that comes into existence, however, and whatever it does, and whenever it does so, is created within you, by you, from you, for you, and in relation to you. Right, so, making sure you get all angles. Right. So he's even taking it, well, in other words, this was the original Gujarati statement, but nowadays they only have from and to, right? Yeah. Because Dwarka is in Gujarati. Okay. The personified Vedas to Mahavishnu, 1087. If the countless living entities were all pervading and possessing forms that never changed, you could not possibly be their absolute ruler, O immutable one. But since they are your localized expansions and their forms are subject to change, you do control them. Indeed, that which supplies the ingredients for the generation of something is necessarily its controller, because a product never exists apart from its ingredient cause. But if you don't have ingredients, you don't have something. Right? So who controls the ingredients controls. Yeah. How do you say? Standard economic principle. Right? It is simply illusion for someone to think that he knows the Supreme Lord, who is equally present in each of his expansions, since whatever knowledge one gains by material means must be imperfect. Right? Because you're dealing just with the modes, so all you can understand is the modes. Okay. Yeah, so here again, if they were all pervading, and all, but they're not. Right? So they're localized expansions. Right? They're the Tathasta Shakti, and they're a localized expansion of that Tathasta Shakti. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yeah. So we'll finish chapter 10. We'll start with chapter 11.
Abhidev.
Abhidev. Yeah,
yes.
Abhidev
and Prayoga. Now, the soul, to some extent, also it's inconceivable.
Yes.
And the Lord, of course, is quite known, inconceivable.
Yeah. But that's because they're part of Krishna. Krishna is inconceivable, so yes. It's natural. Just like the material energy is inconceivable. It's all three are inconceivable. Yes. But they're all based on Krishna.
Yes.
Because he's inconceivable, therefore they have that quality to some degree of inconceivable.
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.